Well, tonight we're going to go back into the scriptures again and into the study that we've been doing. I don't know if this will be on this part of the last subject we're going to cover here at Avoiding Tragedy. We're going to look at the subject of unforgiveness. I don't know how far we'll go in tonight, but we're going to find it's going to be tied into we're talking in the areas where we looked at 1 John and especially dealing in the areas of fellowship, because these things are tied together. And one of the things that God has been really doing with me over the last couple years is about tying subjects of the Bible together, because people separate things and sometimes don't see how they fit together. And, you know, they know this and they have this, but it really doesn't work together in their life, and it needs to. And we're going to look there tonight. First of all, we're going to go over tonight to the area in Scripture of Matthew, the 18th chapter. And I believe you're going to see some things a little bit different, because we're going to be looking some things Jesus said. And you're going to find this as we look at what Jesus said many times. I've learned this. I didn't figure this out myself. I was really alerted to it through John G. Lake and reading after him. And John G. Lake had made the statement and said, he said, if Jesus made a statement about something, he said, that's it. I don't need to hear anybody else on the subject. He said, Jesus is the last on this thing. And so I learned about this as Jesus, paying attention to what Jesus said. Now, there's one thing as you'll find this out. We have a lot today in the church world, and we call churches. People say they have New Testament churches and that. And I will be honest with you, as people, you know, like say we have a New Testament church, they usually don't. There's a lot of things we don't follow out of the New Testament, because we get our beliefs. And it's getting around to ourselves, and it's very easy, because people come along and teach things. People don't check out to find out if it's so. I mean, if we took all the Christian denominations and all the different groups and the way they believe, well, how could you have all these different beliefs that people are following? Because you couldn't have all these different beliefs if everybody's believing the truth. You couldn't have it. So, and then again, we're dealing with the fact of nobody knows everything. And we, like the Apostle Paul said, he said, we know in part, and he said, we prophesy in part. So we're dealing with things that we partly know as we go along. And we're going to find out. There's a lot of people have a lot of strong beliefs in these areas, especially in the area of dealing with the subject of unforgiveness and things. But I find that people really didn't pay a lot of attention to what Jesus said. That we get certain things and we get a portion of a belief. And that portion is right, but it's not the whole thing on the subject, and it isn't a whole truth. So we want to look at this, because many times people can live in the areas of condemnation of things, and it isn't because they were wrong, they were taught wrong. So we want to look, we need to understand this. In Matthew the 18th, we're going to look at a thing here, Jesus himself talking, and something that he says. Here we're starting off, because we're going to be going into quite a bit of this chapter to talking about some things, because it all ties together. It's mostly taught broken up in subject, and it shouldn't be. It should be taught together, because it's all dealing with the same thing. It starts at verse 15. He says, and moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. Now we want to see this. Here's an important thing in dealing in Christianity. He said, Jesus said this, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. Now, you know, we have a lot today. I found this with most Christians. Most Christians don't like to confront things. They like to get somebody else to confront. Over the years, I've had people come to me and say, so-and-so did much. They want me to go talk to them. And I said, did you talk to them? They'll say, no. I said, don't ask me to talk to them. I ain't talking to them. You're supposed to go, and you ain't supposed to be telling other people what they did till you go talk to them. You go, if they sinned against you, now do you understand what the word says? He said if they sinned. Didn't say if they did something or something you didn't like or something. Mm-hmm. Say if they sinned against you. It's a sin. Not something, it's a sin. Something the Bible says is a sin. Not something because you got your feelings hurt. Okay, but I've had people come and they say that, say, hey, you know, the Bible says what you do to correct this. So Jesus is telling us the things that we're supposed to do in correcting things. If we want to, your brother sins against you, you go talk to your brother about that. You go talk to them. And then Jesus said, verse 16, but if he will not hear, Then he says, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Here's an important part. Because when you hear both sides, it might be different than you thought. You see, I've had people come to me like in counseling. They come to counseling and they got a complaint against somebody. They come counseling, sometimes husband and wife. And they don't want me to hear the other party on what they have to say. They only want you to hear their side. Because I'll say to them, well, I would like to talk to them. Can we talk to them about this? And it's almost always, no, I don't want you to talk to them. Well, I said, well, then it ends right here. Because I couldn't make a decision based on one side. See, that's why we have a court of law to call witnesses and stuff. This is what Jesus is saying. You take somebody, why? By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. See, this is an important thing, because Jesus is telling us how to deal with these conflict things. This is hugely important, because this deals about in the area of forgiveness. So if they get two or three, he goes, and he said, now verse 17, and if he refuses to hear them, in other words, if that person's right and he did do something against them, this individual, he says, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. See, here's where the church world doesn't deal with things. You'll find, I've only ever seen maybe one or two times in a church, in any church in my life actually ever did this. They'll have a conflict within the church, but the church never follows the Bible on it. They don't follow the Bible because they don't want to deal with problems out in the open. They want to, let's sweep under the rug. Let's play like we're real nice here. But all kind of things go on behind the scenes, causes a lot of problems. They don't deal with these things up front when you're dealing with people and problems. Here he said, take it before the church. I remember, now this happened probably about 20 years ago. I remember in Lancaster County, they had a church where they put a person out. And it was sort of a, it became sort of a big public thing. Anyhow, the guy that got put out of the church took it to court. And he was, and the courts even agreed with the church and said, you know, this guy was a real problem. But bunches of the so-called, quote, Christian churches complained that they weren't walking in love. This guy had done things that, and he wouldn't repent. And they put him out. They followed the Bible. But all these people in churches, whether they were spirit-filled, so-called Bible churches and all this stuff, they're all saying, oh no, they should have just loved him and let him. Against the Bible. I mean, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, of what you do concerning a brother. You give, you don't even as much as eat with him. But that's not what they, that's not the practice today. We have this so-called love thing. Never deals with stuff which is not love. It's not love. It's not dealing. So he says, put it, because I want you to read what, we want to go on here and look at this because of the things that Jesus said here. He said, if you refuse a church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Now that word there, heathen, that is this, that you'll see that translated in the Greek usually two different ways. One of the words they'll either say Gentile or they say heathen. That is what it's translated. In other words, the Gentile was a heathen. What he's talking about here is a heathen. He's talking about somebody who's not under a covenant with God. This person, you treat them as if they do not have a covenant with God. That's what he says you do. You treat them. In other words, they're not in your fellowship anymore. They're not in your fellowship. They're not a member. You treat them. Now, it doesn't say you hate them or anything like that, but you no longer fellowship. Well, now people would get really testy about this thing. Well, that's why last week we looked at the fact where 1 John. Does God fellowship with unrepentant people? Well, if God's telling me I'm supposed to, then I'm better than God. You see, we have these ideas and things, but we don't follow the Bible. And we need to follow the Bible. This is why conflict. This is why many times people never repent of sin. They don't have to because they can have everything without it. Well, you know, the church will just let them go and let them and not deal with things when people are doing stuff, hurting other people in the church. I had an incident one time. This is years ago, and none of you here would know who it was. But there was an individual who was in our church, and when we first started, and this individual, had a lot of money. And they gave the church, but this person was wanting to get over into things and came to me one time and said, hey, if you have anything, you come and talk to me. You don't talk to your board members. You come and talk to me and tell me. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And I said that I'm supposed to come and if I, you know, deal with you about things with the church. I said, that's why we have the board. Oh, well, you know, you deal with me. And I said to him, I said, what would you think if I tell the other board members what you said? And this is what he said back to me. He said, I'm the biggest giver to this church. He said, I'll quit giving. And I just bluntly said to him, if you're in church this coming Sunday, I'm going to tell the entire congregation what you said to me. He said, you do that? I said, amen, brother, I'd do that. So what he did is he went to another church, another pastor, a guy who was a leader over me who knew what he did and knew what this guy was up to. But because of money, he took him in. Oh, if you got money, they'll just... See, people come along and want to do things. And see, in the church world lets people like that go. And they go from place to place and they hurt. They go to place and do things. They go place to place. And the church allows it, does not deal with it. They go from place to place. And they don't deal with these things. Now, when Jesus said, treat that person, listen to these scriptures. Now, see, we need to understand these scriptures were stated before, but here they're stated again. Jesus says in this instant, verse 18, surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, that's we got to put this right now to the context that he wrote it to. In other words, your decision you make on this, heaven will either get behind it, or if you don't, whatever you do with it, you don't do right with it, heaven will let it go. You don't deal with it, heaven let it go. See, this is lots of times where we don't have. See, the church has not done well as a governing body. It's not done well as being a governing body. It's supposed to. It's dealing with these issues. Where people, see, we have today, if a person goes into a church and causes a problem, it goes another night. It's like I had this is only a few years ago, it happened where a minister said to me, a people came that had gone to our church for numbers of years, but went to this pastor and told him that they were going to our church. Well, they hadn't been to our church for years, and said they were going to our church, but they were coming over there, and he came and he told me about them. Well, they were real problems, especially the woman. She was a huge problem. And because I had to deal with her on it because of things that she was doing to people. So, she calls his pastor, and this pastor calls me, and he says, I'm letting you know that, you know, this person, they were going to your church coming over. And I said, well, they haven't gone to our church for years. So I said, they're not telling you the truth. They haven't been to our church for years. They're lying to you. Well, they come over to the church, and he said some things about it. And I said, "Now look, I said, you're going to have some problems because I said, I'll just tell you what they're going to do. I said, and this person was one, always wanted the church to be doing things for him and taking care of things for him and all this. They were very demanding about what they thought somebody ought to be looking after them. And I said, you're going to have this. Well, he said, I think I can minister to him. I said, well, you go right ahead, do whatever you want. I said, they're yours. And, so, I guess maybe a year and a half or so went by, and he gives a talk one day about them and wants to complain to me about them. I said, look, I told you what the problems you're going to deal with. I said, I told you going in, they were lying to you. I told you going in, they were lying. And I said, I told you the problems. I said, you have those problems. Oh, yeah, we're having... I said, that's right. I was a liar, and you were just really smart and spiritual, and you knew better, and you could minister to them, and I just couldn't. I said, they're not the problem anymore. You are. You did this. Why are you complaining about them? You were told. You see, when things go, when people just open up, see, this is today, people can just jump from place to place and take problems. I had another minister call one time, a person left, went to church, did the same thing in that church they did to our church. And he complained. He knew what was going on. Complained, gave me a call about it. And I said, look, you knew what was going on. I said, you thought you got something good. I said, you got what you deserved. You were told. You reap what you sowed. Now you're going to complain about the person. No, we have trained people. They can be problem people, and they can jump from place to place, and the church never deals with them. That's what we got. They can just go from place to place, problem to problem, jump from place to place. The church never deals with them. And if somebody does deal with it, they're the bad person. They're the problem. The rest of the good people are just so wonderful and sweet. And what they don't need are these problem people. It's like I heard one woman minister is very popular. She said one time, she said, the hurting people in the church are what's hurting the church. They call hurting people. They get hurt. You ain't going to ever be around humans and you don't get hurt. Everybody gets their feelings hurt. It's just some people wear it on their sleeves all the time. And they're always get hurt. They're always this. They're always that. They create their problems and they get hurt. People do that. Man, I tell you, I'd never be in the ministry if it was over the things that somebody did something to hurt you. Dear God. I mean, my words. If you're in the ministry and somebody ain't talking about you, you ain't in much of a ministry. And if somebody don't like what you do, I mean, I learned a long time ago, that don't matter at all. Don't faze me at all.
Hallelujah.
You have to, or you'd never make it. You can tell. I mean, you don't ever be in a leadership position if you got fluff. You know, you're just this whole thing bothers me, because there's always going to be somebody to bother you. That's life. I mean, that's the way it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, you just, you know. But Jesus said, Jesus turned around and told us here. He said, whatever we bind on earth will be heaven, whatever we loose. He said, again, I say to you. Now here again, is he talking about two in agreement? Again, I say to you, if two agree on earth is touching, concerning anything they ask, it'll be done to me in my Father which is heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. And he's talking about here concerning the church, dealing with the problems, dealing with these things. This is what he's talking about in using this in judging instances, dealing with stuff. And so we need to understand this is important. You're dealing with this person. This person who did this, you treat them in the same manner as you treat a person as if they're not saved and that stuff. In other words, that isn't your fellowship buddy, and that isn't, the person needs to know that they did something they need to correct. Now, we want to look, because Jesus didn't stop talking about that subject, because Peter asked him a question, and we need to know that as we go on and read this, Peter, because of what Jesus just said there, and see, I want you to, Peter was probably pretty, I imagine most of the disciples were pretty astonished at what Jesus said. Because this isn't the way that they had heard things. It's just like today. I imagine majority of the church, they don't hear these kinds of things. These are things that people talk about reading the Bible, but I think lots of times people really don't pay attention, because these things are not taught in the church. They're not taught in dealing with it. We're taught, don't judge nothing. No. Don't judge nothing. No. We're just so darn wonderful. And that's why things end up like they are. Now, in the 21st verse, we find here, Peter says, then Peter came to him. This is to Jesus, and he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? And Jesus said to him, Peter said, up to seven times. Jesus said, I didn't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, we look at this part here, is he said, how often you forgive your brother? Say, now, it's one, number one, did he tell them in this incident up here that we had looked at here in Scripture, did he tell them to forgive that guy anyhow? Did he say forgive him? No, he didn't. Well, what's he talking about when he spoke to Peter and he said 70 times 7? Well, this is where we get into the things of Scripture that'll be beneficial to us to look at. This is why, you know, with Paul writing to, let's first look over here. Look at, because there was a statement made that we had read where he said, taking more than one witness, take one or two people. He said, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, we should follow that pattern concerning Scripture, because in Luke makes a statement about the same thing, but Luke adds to it. And this is why I was studying the Bible. It's so important with Paul's writing to Timothy and said to Timothy to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Now, not only can the Bible be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. This is why you want to look at the statements in the Bible said. Don't just take one statement. There is no doctrine in the Bible that's built off of one statement of Scripture. There's no such. It's not a doctrine if it is. It's not a doctrine. we have here, look what Luke said. Luke writing, this is Jesus again speaking, and Luke wrote this in Luke 17. In verse 3, Luke starts off and says, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, Jesus said this, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Did you hear that? If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. It's about forgiving when an individual repents. If they don't, we're to do just like Jesus. It's not being ugly to the person. It's not holding a grudge against them. They're already in 10 tons of trouble themselves. If they sin and haven't repented, they're in the devil's territory and they're going to be in trouble. So we need to understand this, the shape they're in. That's why, you know, he says to them, just as is Jesus, if a person sins and doesn't repent, God doesn't fellowship. So God tells his people, don't fellowship with them. You see, we need to learn to pick this up in the church. See, we got people who live in sin in the church who are fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, you name it. What Paul wrote about. And Paul said, don't even as much as eat with them. When somebody calls themselves a Christian, there is a standard we're supposed to hold them to. That is a requirement of the Bible. And see, today's church world is, as a whole, there are churches that hold people, but the majority don't. I mean, you can go into churches and there's people in there. I've talked to ministers where they have people in their churches. Big name ministers on TV and that stuff. They got homosexuals in their singing groups in the church. They know it. They got them in their bands. They got them in their stuff. Well, I was told at a minister's conference one time, well, you can let people, you know, with those kinds of sins in there because maybe you can help them and reach them. That's what they, let that spirit in the church, let that stuff come in and operate the church. All kind of weird things go on out here. But this is here. So dealing here is forgiveness. It says, and if he sins against you, he said seven times in a day. In other words, how often ever he comes back and repents, forgive him. But if he doesn't, why? You admit you're wrong. See, if you go over, in fact, some translations of 1 John, instead of putting if you confess your sin, it says if you admit you sinned. Which is, I think, it's a very good translation. If you admit what you did wrong. If you admit it. Forgiveness goes with admitting what you did wrong. But if a person refuses, see, we're told from this standpoint, you forgive them no matter what. You just forget. You just tell them they're forgiven. Yeah, you're forgiven. No, not unless they repented. I mean, this is Jesus talking. I mean, is Jesus wrong? Jesus is right. Now we're going to go another thing that might just shock you a little bit here. Because we're going to go on and read something else. This Jesus said some stuff that is different than what we're said to. We're told about things. And I want to know what the Bible says about it. I'm not interested in man's opinion. Now Jesus went on to give an example of something to try to get across to people about this. And so what he does is he was asked a question by Peter, and so he's going to give Peter an explanation about this and about the areas of forgiveness. So in Matthew, back over to Matthew 18, we're going to pick up again on verse 23 from there. And it says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. It says, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. He said, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down on his at his feet, begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, just so we get an idea of some things here, of Jesus making this statement. Now, when we look at, say, what it's talking about, a denarii was an amount of money which was, in Jesus' day, would have been a one-day wage pay on the average person. The average person who worked, if you went out, like they hired somebody to work in a field during the day or something, Jesus, they'd have paid him one denarii for his day's work. That would have been the average pay that a person was given. So this guy owed this guy 100 denarii. So we're talking about 100 days' wages would be at the average person's pay for the day. Now, this guy, what we want to look at is this guy here that had 10,000 talents. Now, we're talking about, this is enormously different. There, one talent was equal to 6,000 denarii. 6,000. So, when you sit down and look at the difference, this guy owed his Lord, the guy that owed the big bucks, He owed 166.66 years of wages. I mean, a little bit past his lifetime, you know? That's what he owed. That's what he owed, and his master forgave him. And this other guy, so we're seeing really a guy who has an insurmountable debt and a guy who has a small debt. And this guy goes after, he's forgiven this astronomical amount of money that this guy was forgiven. But he goes after his fellow servant whom he went after here was over this much smaller amount of money. And he had the guy thrown in prison for it. And verse 31 says, when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" Now his master, now look at this, his master was very angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Now listen to this. This is what, now you listen to these words. This guy was forgiven this debt. It was called back to him. Yep. Now the next verse definitely is not preached in the church. Jesus said, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass." See, we don't teach, but like in this incident, unforgiveness is a biggie. Unforgiveness is a huge one in the church world, and people, it's not preached on the size that it is. We preach fornication, adultery, and all that kind of stuff. And that is bad. That's not good stuff. But unforgiveness is a terrible, terrible thing because it will lead anybody to torment. It is an open door for the devil to come in to steal, to kill, and destroy. I'll tell you, there's more people. I mean, I could tell you stories after stories of people wouldn't forgive things that happened to them in their lives because they hold things, they get fighting, fussing at people about stuff, staying after things, fighting over things, and things that happen to people. It just ain't worth it. It's not worth it because of what it costs you to do that. And here it is. Jesus said this. Jesus said in the same manner, this guy was turned over to the tormentors. Well, who's a tormentor? He got turned over to Satan. He got turned over to the tormentor. See, now, one of the things that we need to understand as Christians is this fact. Is there is a debt that we always owe. And that debt is forgiveness. Just as we were forgiven to be forgiving. When somebody repents, forgive them. That we do. Because if you don't, you're going to be turned over to the tormentor. Jesus said so. Jesus said that's what's going to happen to people. See, when people, that's one of the things is following the word. We have today, there's so much in these areas that we don't deal with. This is one of the things that I remember was at a minister's conference one time, and a guy was teaching, and he was talking to ministers about people and praying for people for healing. And he made mention this. He said, you know, you guys sit around and talk about, you tell people, well, they need to just trust the Lord and that stuff. He said, there's loads of Christians. He said, the reason there's sickness and stuff going on, so much stuff in people's lives, he says, it's their dirty lives. You see, but, you know, most of them don't know it because they're not taught they had dirty lives. They're not taught from the standpoint of what the Bible says. If you do things, the penalty it costs you. See, we need to understand this. We have the things of, because, you know, salvation is free and we have grace, and grace just takes care of everything, you know. In fact, grace is so good, it don't matter what Jesus said. It don't overshadow everything. It doesn't take away. You know, as Paul wrote the church in Galatia, and you know the scripture in Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God's not backed, for whatever a man sows, that'll also reap. Now, I'm going to read you that from the Phillips translation. I like it the best on this because it says, don't be under any illusions. You cannot make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. Entirely. People need to know that. Entirely. And so this is one of the biggest things here, is dealing with this area of forgiveness. Don't matter, you know, if a person, no matter what they did, if they come to you and pray, and admit they did wrong, forgive it. Let it go. Don't carry it, because it is not worth it. It is not worth what people go through of the problems and the things because somebody did something. I've always been amazed at this. People can turn around and they can tell you what somebody did to them 40 years ago. And something, I mean, some almost insignificant thing. But boy, they, well, so-and-so did this to me. It's like, dear God, who cares? See, I bet they're saying, hey, I can tell you what he did, too. It's like... the same people usually don't ever remember much about what they did. They usually have a good memory of what the other guy did. But you have to, number one, that is something, it's a debt you must pay. Forgiveness is always a debt that we have to pay to people, is forgiveness. Because if we know, well, we were forgiven, we must forgive. Is in the same manner. That's why the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. It's just like the guy who doesn't repent. We don't turn around, run around, treat the guy mean or anything like that. But you know, we don't have time to say, hey, look, you don't do right. Just like your child. If you have a child and they just want to continue to do evil, what, are you going to just be nice to them and all that stuff and things? See, I watch people do that. I watch people, the kids do evil, and they keep buying them gifts and doing all kinds. They think if I do all these nice things to them, then they'll straighten out. No, they taught them the fact is, you get rewarded whether you do good or not. And when people find out, God doesn't reward evil. He doesn't do it. He doesn't reward evil. Is letting people know that there's a cost to doing wrong and things to people. People pay terrible prices over the things of doing wrong and not repenting from them and that stuff, from relationships, whether it's marriage or whatever else. I mean, things snowball over time and they get to a place and it ain't pretty. It isn't good. And you don't want to go to them places. You don't want to go to them places. You don't want to go there. And so... remember that in dealing with these. Always look at what Jesus said about it. Because, you know, there's people. I've watched the things too. And a little thing to understand and know is why you want to follow the scriptures. When somebody, whether an individual does something, you can forgive them, but that doesn't mean you trust them. God don't. The Bible says this. Concerning, he said, if you're faithful with little, God will make you ruler over much. In other words, you've got to prove your faithfulness before God makes you a ruler. Amen. Well, it's the same way with people. You need to understand in dealing with. I've had people come along and they've done, you know, things, and then they want, and I'd say, well, you know, you just don't turn everything over to them and start trusting them. They have to prove that. Trust is another thing. You can forgive them. I'm not holding against you what you did, but you're going to have to build your trustworthiness back. See, a person that keeps continually doing something wrong to you, it's nothing weird that you don't trust them. That isn't strange. God don't. They have to prove themselves. understand this, trustworthiness to somebody, it's like I've had people over the years, like people come to me and ask me about things, I don't even know who they are. And you know, they'll say, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? And I look at them and say, well, no, I've got good sense. I don't even know who you are. How would I trust you when I don't know you? Well, I'd be a fool to say I trusted them. That'd be a foolish thing to do. But yet people do this stuff all the time. You know, I see in marriages where people do things and really destroy their marriage and do stuff, and they come back, they tell the person, you know, the other person, you know, they're sorry and that stuff, but they expect everything just to go back to normal. It ain't. They're going to have to prove themselves over time. They're going to have to prove themselves trustworthy in that marriage. Amen. God expects them to. And people have to prove themselves that they are trustworthy. And we have a lot of troubles in those areas of things. And Christians sometimes feel guilty because they've been told that you're just supposed to, you know, just go back. I had a deal one time with a lady who was asked to go visit a woman in the hospital. Didn't know at the time I went, the person had asked me to go visit this lady. I went to visit her and found out she was going to a church. She was in the hospital because her husband beat her up, and he's associate pastor in the church. And this ain't the first time he beat her up. And the pastor was behind this whole thing. You know, this guy would beat his wife up, and then he was demanding that she forgive him. So, you know, and this kind of stuff. He beats her up, and then she's supposed to forgive him, and she's supposed to go back just like everything's all right. Go take another licking. And this stuff's going on with the pastor of the church. And I went to visit this lady. Well, I mean, they have had her trained to think that if she don't go back, you know, she's a terrible person. She needs to go back and take the beating off this guy, you know, because, you know, this is walking in love. But I sat her down and I said, you notice, and I took her over to Romans and showed her what the Bible says about if you don't obey the government, I said, the ones over authority over you, you don't obey God. And I said, the government has laws. I said that when he does something to you, they have laws to protect you. I said, they ain't to hurt your Christianity. They ain't telling you. And I said, we have laws. You're supposed to turn him in. And I said, and let him know about the pastor too. I said, that's what the Bible said. Now I said, your pastor can preach any darn thing he wants. But I said, that's in the Bible. I said, that's the Bible. I said, the government put laws there to protect you from the wicked. And I said, your pastor and your husband are wicked. They're doing wicked to you. They're doing evil. They're sinning against you. And I said, you need to turn them in. I said, you don't go back to take a beat because this guy, well, the pastor, she said, well, the pastor keeps telling me he's working with him. I said, boy, it's really working good, ain't it? I said, here you lay in the hospital, working great, isn't it? Now, I will guarantee you this. If I went to that church and I gave that pastor a licking, I'll guarantee you he'd call the police just like that.
Amen. That's right.
Backslidden buzzard. He'd just do it. But here's somebody else taking a beating. A woman's taking a beating. You're just supposed to go back. You're supposed to take this thing. No, you follow the Bible. That man's untrustworthy. He's proved himself untrustworthy. And that kind of stuff goes on. And folks, don't think that there's any kind of odd thing going on. You wouldn't believe how much things like that go on. People are taught and trained like sometimes like a bunch of dogs. You know? They're taught the Bible. They're taught some religious junk. So people have learned to twist the Bible so they get what they want. And I just couldn't believe that. Poor ladies, they're in a land hospital, beat up. Wasn't her first trip. And this poor lady thinks she has to go back there and she's being taught, you know, that you're being loving if you go back there. She ain't getting beat up for the gospel's sake. Paul didn't get whooping because he was there, you know, that kind. I don't think Paul would have took a whooping like that, but he took it for the gospel. This stuff isn't for gospel. This is because of the lusts of men. And you have these perverted teachings, and in their church, you know, I know they preach all salvation. You need to be born again. Well, the associate pastor should have got born again. He needed it. Get a changed life. I don't don't see where born again leads you to beating your wife up. I don't see where he goes there. See, we want to look at this as one of the things too, is dealing there is we want to do a system of forgiveness to people. We still want to walk in forgiveness to people. You don't want to run and get bitter about what people do. You might have to walk away from people sometimes and let them, but don't you walk off and carry bitterness. Don't you walk up and carry stuff with you. Because, you know, there's one thing as I've learned a long time. People that do the wrong things, they're already in a lot of trouble. They're in more trouble than having you fussing with them over it ain't mean nothing to the trouble that they're going to end up into. I had a guy one time and he got over me about some things and I knew he was out of line and I talked to him nicely about it. He wouldn't hear, wouldn't listen. And so I said to the Lord about what to do concerning the individual. He says, let them alone. He said, I'll deal with it. And one day, you know what? He just up and dropped dead. I mean, I'm going to talk about drop dead. He dropped instantly dead one day. Just, I mean, literally he was out and just chopping and just, boom, instantly fell over and died. I say, God do it? No, he did it himself. He did things and carried bitterness and carried stuff and just wouldn't deal with it. And wouldn't repent. He was wrong. Refused to repent. It's like, sometimes just let things alone. Cause themselves problems. Now we have very familiar scriptures and they use these concerning faith, but we'll need to look at all of them from Mark in the 11th chapter dealing with our faith. Like number one, if we want to pray, we want to believe God, it is important. Our faith is tied to the areas of dealing with forgiveness, especially somebody does something. Here, in Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 23 starts off very familiar to us. It says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be removed and cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, or because of this principle of speaking and saying from your heart, because of this principle, he said, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Now, actually, this is the only place in Scripture concerning the areas of faith and dealing where Jesus specifically spoke of a hindrance to faith. A specific or directly to it. Now, the Bible tells us, you know, faith worketh by love. But he spoke directly to this. He said, in whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. See, our trespass is forgiveness. See, one of the problems we deal with in the church, I remember this is a long time ago, an individual was going to our church, and I said, he was a seminary graduate. But he told us that this here didn't count anymore. This thing here of, you know, of forgiveness. You know, people mess things up. Jesus Christ forgave every man of his sin. But every man ain't going to heaven. Every man, you have to receive the forgiveness of your sin. So the fact that Jesus took everybody's sin, and this is really, there's a lot of wrong ideas that people have that because Jesus died for everyone's sin, then it's already all from the standpoint we take everybody is forgiven. Well, there is from that principle, but that don't make you saved. You're not saved because your sins are forgiven. You're saved because you got born again. You received Jesus Christ. You got born again. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must get your sins forgiven. Why? Because sins are... And see, people deal with these things wrongly. Amen. And this guy said, you know, oh no, he wouldn't have had it. He'd get his prayer answered anyhow. And I had the guy tell me this. I said, well, good luck with that one. But, you know, they believe us. And he goes there. But if, verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, didn't we read a thing similar to that? See, you start putting all this stuff together. You sit down and put it together, it's easy to see. So our faith and our answered prayers are tied to the area of forgiveness. So he said, Jesus said, hey, if you're going to pray, you're going to ask for something, make sure you got things straight. Make sure if you have a problem with somebody, you go deal with that. Deal with that thing, then come back and ask. Why would Jesus say that? Why? To get your prayers answered. That's why he said it. He wants you to get your prayers answered. So, unforgiveness is something that we know specifically from the scriptures that Jesus said so will affect your prayer life of whether you get answers to prayer. That could be. Now, that's not the only, wouldn't be the only thing, but here he's telling us concerning it. We can follow these scriptures down to a T, but get over and we have something against somebody and we don't deal with it. And that's why it's always good. It's one thing is I was always grateful to Kenneth E. Hagin because he taught us from the standpoint. He said people usually pray too quick. He said they pray before checking anything out. Sometimes you need to check yourself out before you start asking, praying for them, making sure you're in the place to ask for it. Because you might find out with yourself. You check your own heart to see where your own heart is. Is my heart right? Are things right? Am I holding anything against anybody? If I need to clear some things up, maybe let's get those cleared up. It is hugely important that we do that. It's like Jesus talked about fellowship from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, in other words, our fellowship with God is hugely important. Number one, you can't be out of fellowship with God and in your own heart at the same time be able to believe that you can receive something from God. You can't do that. Faith is from believing in your heart and not doubting. And if your heart has any condemnation in it, you can't do that. Amen. If your heart, you have a problem in an area and you're not dealing with it. See, many times people just pray from their head. They pray for head knowledge. They're praying whatever I need and this, and they're not really looking in their own heart. No, faith comes from the heart. It's not from the head. It's from the heart. So, you always want to deal with the area, just like here is dealing, we always want to deal with the area of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Walking in forgiveness with others. I want to read this from 1 John. On the areas of because of dealing with this, as we did with 1 John, we were reading last week from 1 John. We're going to read from the third chapter. And it is about your heart. This is one of the things is dealing in this area. You don't ever want to get over any areas. As many times people don't realize that the problems that they run into, people have had disastrous problems in their lives because of unforgiveness that it eats. And let me just say this about it. Unforgiveness can be a thing that will affect your offspring. People, I'll tell you, there's a lot of offspring have had terrible lives because of the unforgiveness of their parents, because letting that disease spread. Unforgiveness. Sin can be just like a natural disease. It can eat into things and get into things and get into people. 1 John the 3rd chapter, verse 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now here he's talking about... one of the things is looking in Scripture, John writes about the brethren. He's talking about your Christian brother and sister. He's not talking about... See, people today say, well, we're all brothers and sisters. No, we're not. We were all born and come out of a descendancy from Adam, all humans. But not everybody is a child of God. And we need to understand that. People aren't. He's talking here to brethren, especially... We need to get this as Christians, especially how we deal with our brethren, the other Christians. That's a hugely important and enormously. John writes about it here distinctly. He's writing about our Christian brothers and sisters. He says, but whoever has the world's good and sees his brother, he said, in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide him? He said, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Then he says, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now he's talking about the assurance of your heart, not your head, your mind, or your emotions, your heart. Look at, for if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, We have confidence toward Him. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, if we don't keep the commandment of love, we don't walk in love with people. We don't do that. It's going to cause a problem, and your own heart's going to condemn you, and you will not have confidence toward God, and your prayers will not get answered. See, this is one of the things, sometimes from the areas of faith, you know, people just talk from the side, well, let's just believe God, believe God. We need to understand, we're talking about a person's heart. Our own heart determines our confidence toward God. I have confidence toward God, toward based on my heart. See, we have people today, a lot are trained in the church world psychologically. They're not trained spiritually. They're trained. They think from their mind. We follow certain religious patterns or principles and things and that, and we're okay. But they're not conscious concerning their own heart. They're not even conscious concerning sin. They're not, they have no, it does, and you sort of can't blame them. They haven't been taught. They have no consciousness of their own conscience giving them feeling guilty about something. In fact, there is some teaching if the part has gotten over the extremes. You know, you don't want to have to live with a guilty conscience all the time. If you repented, you don't want to walk around with a guilty conscience. But on the other hand, if you didn't, you ought to have a guilty conscience. And if your conscience has bothered you, that's a good thing. There's two sides to it. See, there's some people, you know, like I went to church as a kid, and they taught you sin consciousness. And you were always taught you weren't good enough. And you're never good enough. You're never this. You're never. And see, that was a wrong consciousness because the saint never had confidence toward God. You never knew if God was going to answer your prayer. You never knew because of that, the way that it was taught. And so I grew up in that kind of an atmosphere. That's what they taught. You know, nobody was ever good enough. And I always thought about it. Well, if the dearest saint, these people that were supposed to be on top of it all, if they can't, don't know if they're going to make it. You know, I remember they used to have what they called a testimony meeting. And they used to get up and these people in the church and they'd testify. And their testimony was this, was pray for me that I might pray true and faithful to the end. And I used to think, God, if they don't know if they can make it to the end, I ain't got a chance. But see, they never had a confidence, but they were always told, see, you're never good enough, you know, you're just... And as a Christian, that's why they had, that's what they had in them, and they got in them. Now, you don't want, as a Christian, you don't want to go there when you're walking, like you should have a place for your confidence in God. But that when you sin, you should know that. And your conscience, your inner man will let you know that. And that needs to be dealt with. Why? So you can have confidence in God. When you ask... Is Jesus said concerning things? He said, you say to this mountain and be thou cast in the sea. And he said, you don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things in your heart. You believe it'll come to pass. He said, you'll have what you say. And that's why he made it therefore. He said, when you pray and you ask when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Why? You'll have that confidence. But it's from your heart. The confidence isn't the outside. Now, you stand there and look at that mountain and you might think, oh my God, that doesn't look like you might... But it's what's in your heart. It's what you're believing in your heart, not with what you see with your eye. It's believing from in your own heart or own spirit. So keep yourself in that place. Keep your conscience clear toward God in the areas of forgiveness. Don't get over into the areas where people go to and they holding things against people. You'll always have. There's no such things. There's no place you can ever live. There's no group you can ever be around in that you won't get your feelings hurt. That will never happen. You'll never get into some. I've had people come and say they're looking really at this church. I'm looking for a church that, you know, they're looking for this perfect thing. And I always tell them, say, well, when you come, the perfect ends because you're going to be there. It ends. When you show up, perfect done left. Get over it. It ain't no place perfect. Anyway, I'm looking at a place and it's just going to be wonderful. Now, no place has that from the standpoint. You have people, different personalities, different stuff. You know, there's some people that, you know, that, I'm going to tell you what, they just rub you raw. They just rub you, you know. And it ain't no different. Is there something wrong with me? No, I've asked other ministers. I've asked other people. But it's the same thing. Some people, just their personalities will rub you raw. Just the way it is. There's other people you just fit right in with. You know, you can just... And that's it. That's life. That's the way life is. And so, well, you got to learn to love them all. You got to learn to... Yeah. They are what they are.
Yep.
And if people get out of line, the Bible tells us what to deal with them. And I tell you, there's a lot of things would change in the church if church would listen to the Bible. There's a lot of things that change. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people would have changed in the church and would have helped their lives, but the church didn't follow the Word. They followed their own ideas. So the person never changed. They never saw a need to change because they didn't have to. See, God don't put these things in the Bible to hurt people. It's to help them. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. That's why it's always best to follow the Word. Sometimes it ain't fun to do. I found out a long time ago. It always ain't fun following the Bible. Because lots of times the Bible is contrary to society and contrary to what we think. And that is rough on people. Because I've been amazed over the years at things that the Bible plainly talks and plainly says and how people ignore it. And then the other people say, yeah, I read through the Bible every year. Well, that's good. You ought to pay attention to it next year when you read through it. Well, we've all done that. Sit down and read. Say, dear Lord, what have I been reading? This thing don't... They've been saying this, but that ain't what that says. They said it meant this. And we'll say, wow, it didn't mean that. Hallelujah. Well, that's where you look and just smile. And but you get the truth. It's one of the things, and I said, it's very the biggest helpful thing is to follow the truth is the greatest thing you can do to help people. And you're going to find this. To follow the truth, you're going to be running contrary to society and much of the church world. You are. You're going to run contrary to things because of the practices of how things are done and people's beliefs. But you got to walk in truth anyhow. You just love people and that stuff. It's odd. I mean, I've had people put remarks about me online about things that that I said, and the Bible specifically says exactly what I said. And they're writing me and said, I'm a heretic and I'm this and I'm that. And I think, the Bible says explicitly what I quoted. But it don't fit their religious belief. And so, therefore, but I learned that. I just feel sorry for them. They don't know. They got into some religious junk and they were taught certain things. And those certain things become true to them. It's just like Jesus told the Pharisees. Now think of the Pharisees would have been considered the word people of the day. Those were the ones who were strict on the law. You know, you follow, man, Moses and the law, this is the thing. And look how Jesus dealing with them. Jesus told them that they, he said, you bring people in and make them a worse child of the devil. Gee, how'd like Jesus show up at your church? But he would. People come and they teach all kind of sometimes things. They don't stop. That's why you always got to go back to judge what you think you know. You might find out what you do. Ain't nothing matter being wrong, but I'll tell you what, it's a shame to stay there. And I believe it's a sin to stay there. Is just keep being wrong and refusing to look back. To judge yourself in these. Because you got to judge yourself according to the Word. You have to do it. And if it was wrong, it's wrong. So, you know, it don't bother me to be wrong anymore because I've been there so many darn times. It don't matter, you know. And we're all learning. We're all learning. And what we find out is one of the things that I've learned is this, is go keep going back over the Bible and back over the Bible. Take off your religious colored glasses that you think you know. So one thing is I gave up on the fact that I'm smart. I gave them, because if you think you're smart and you know a lot, you don't know nothing because there'll be tons of things you will never be able to see in the Bible because you think you know, and you will look and read everything according to what you think you know. I learned that from people of wisdom, and they were right. You just keep reading things like you think you know, and you never really get to see things. You got to stay as a child. Amen. You always keep yourself as, you know what, I need to learn. I'm sure I ain't got it all right. I'm sure there's things that I think are so that ain't. And they aren't. I found it out over the years and many things, and studying over things and finding out. Back when I was, this goes back over 20 years ago when the Lord said to me one day, he said, why do you believe what you believe? And when he said it to me, all of a sudden I just knew inside. It's one of those things that he has a way of saying things and you don't, all of a sudden you know these other things. And it's, I knew I was supposed to go back and begin to look at the stuff in the Bible that I say I believe in. So I went back and really started to study it. And I was shocked at how many things I ran into to find out. Taught things that weren't right. Bible says certain things we thought said certain. I sat down and read it and said, how do we ever teach it like this? The Bible don't even say that. But it's been taught certain ways. And you find it, you know, the big thing about it, you don't find it just as, you won't find this. You'll be shocked of, my words, I had it wrong, but half these big name preachers have it wrong too. They've been saying it this other way, and it ain't. It isn't what the Bible says. So you get in your mind a certain way. That's why, you know, they tell you, writing a book, you write something like, if when I write or do anything like that, I give it to Wanda to proofread. So you never proofread your own stuff. You don't ever. Because why? You'll read it according to the way that you thought you said it. That's where you're going to read it. Nobody ever, if you do your own proofreading, you need another dip. Something wrong with you. You ain't as smart as you think. You get somebody else, and then Wanda will say, yeah, you did this, or that. That's not right, or this is not right. And I've done read over that thing 10 times. It seemed okay to me. But when I go back and read, I thought, yeah, I was reading what I thought I said. And that's what I was seeing. Well, it's the same way with studying the Bible. We end up reading, and I'll never forget, I was a baby Christian, and Brother Hagin said, when you go read the Bible, take your religious colored glasses off. And that's what he was talking about. Reading things according to what I believe. What happens is you read them according to what you were taught, not what was said. I have done this already with Scripture, where God kept dealing with me as Scripture. And I spent over a week, and I would meditate on it. He kept talking to me about these certain Scriptures, and I was going back over, reading them over, and I couldn't understand what He was talking to me about, because I thought, I know what these Scriptures, I know what this is. And I would go back over, and I'd read it. I must have read it hundreds of times, read it over. Finally, I realized I had not seen what it said. I kept reading it every time according to what I thought it said. God was trying to get my attention on that scripture. And he finally, I thought, I wonder what he thinks when you go do this. All he's thinking, does he think, what's wrong with that idiot? He can't see. He can't see. He's thinking certain words that aren't there. I'll tell you who my favorite teacher is. The Holy Spirit. Yeah. Well, anybody else below, everybody else falls way below that. As many as are led by the Spirit, they don't say as many as are led by some preacher, some God that they think is their favorite. The God that's your favorite, you're going to make the same mistakes he did. Make the Holy Spirit your favorite teacher. You'll make less mistakes. It's just a good thing. Let him be the teacher. If any good thing, when I think of the good things that I got from other teachers, it was because of the Holy Spirit. He was operating through them. He gave them revelations, things I got from them, and things that were good. That's how we got it. We too easily today, especially, I think is where it's ended up in a lot of problems, too many people are following men. They have their favorite this and their favorite that. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. If we come up with anything good, if we do anything, it's because of the Holy Spirit. If he's not revealing, he's got to be the revealer. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit, the wonderful teacher. Lord, we desperately need taught, trained. Father, our great desire is to know what is the truth, what is true. And Lord God, we don't see those things or we don't know those things because of our own, just because we can read and we've been educated somewhat or everything. That's not why. Father, we need the great Holy Spirit. is the revealer of the Word. And Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you, because you surely have been patient in teaching us. I've often wondered, Holy Spirit, how many times you had to go over things to get it across. Oh, hallelujah. But I thank you. I thank you that you continually instruct us, continually teach and reveal things to us. And Holy Spirit, you know our heart and our desire is to learn, to understand and to comprehend. We want to. And we thank you. We thank you. Take the things that we don't know that we need to know and reveal them to us. Bring those things to our understanding that we need to walk in these days. Our desire, Holy Spirit, is to fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ and what He's called each of us to do in our part. Whatever part we have that belongs to us, we want to know that part and fulfill it. So open up the Word and reveal those things. And then show us how to act on the Word, how to walk in it. So Lord God, Lord, the things are brought to pass that the Word and the Kingdom desires that would be brought to pass. Lord, we just don't want to gain a bunch of more information. We just don't want to be people of just revelation. We want to be doers. Hallelujah. Because Lord God, doing what the Word says, walking in the light, doing our part that Jesus Christ might be glorified and magnified in this earth. Hallelujah. That people would hear the truth, because knowing the truth is what makes men free. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.